How many have had an overwhelming week? Or maybe I should say an overwhelming month, right? Or overwhelming couple of months, or how many has it been an overwhelming year? Or a few years? Somebody at 8:30 held up this many fingers. I said it's been 7 years. Overwhelming 7 years. So how many are feeling overwhelmed this morning? If this is you today, then I just want you to know that we hear you. Because every one of us goes through this sometimes. Every one of us has been there, and many times in life it happens. All the elements of life can simply feel overwhelming at times. We're in a message series right now where we're trying to repurpose that word overwhelming, overwhelmed, to not be as the world overwhelming us, but that we can instead get ourselves caught up and submerged in an overwhelming, loving God. Because in the midst of our overwhelming lives, we can turn our focus to our overwhelming God and his goodness instead and find ourselves in a much different place than maybe we are even right now. Instead of having a crushed spirit, we can instead have an enriched and a renewed spirit. I promise that the overwhelming elements of this world pale greatly in comparison to our overwhelming, the overwhelming presence of God in our lives if we'll acknowledge him and if we'll receive him. And over this season of gratitude that we're in, as we're moving toward Thanksgiving, we just want to be overwhelmingly grateful to God and who he is and what he does for us. Before we get started today, I want to draw your attention to the screen for a moment, the image on the screen. It's the image we're using for this message series, and we usually have some different image for those, and Mike's the one that usually puts those together. Not usually, always puts those together, because I sure can't do it. And a lot of times when Mike puts together some sort of image, he's going to go online, he's going to find different images that work. He's even used AI sometimes to help create some things and make an image. And when I first look at this one, I think, oh, this is definitely one that's been put together, right? I mean, you have not only a waterfall that's huge, but there's a rainbow. If you look, there's a double rainbow. You have the path. You have the clouds in the blue sky. This is like somebody photoshopped. They took the best pictures. They threw them all together to make it look overwhelming. But this is a real picture, isn't it?
Yeah.
Will you tell us about it a minute?
Yeah, this was a picture I took a couple years ago on a trip to Zambia. This is one of the seven wonders of the world, Victoria Falls. Just a snippet of it, but this is actually literally what it looks like. That's one of those is probably my shadow. Not yet, Steve. No. Not yet. Sorry. That was, yeah, we weren't there. But yeah, I mean, that's, you literally see double rainbows, and that's the path we walk down. But yeah, so if you've been to Niagara, that's pretty amazing, pretty impressive. Niagara is about 190 feet tall, I think, at its tallest. This at its tallest is about 355 feet or so at its tallest. And like we kind of saw there a second, now go ahead and bring that next one. And it's over a mile wide from left to right. The little specks at the bottom, it looks like a road. Those little specks are full-size buses, to give you a little bit of perspective. Just of the enormity of how big this is. And you can't imagine just the sound of the water rushing. Before you even got anywhere near it, you could hear it rushing. You could hear it pouring. You knew it was coming. And you just saw little pieces and little pieces and then a little more and a little more until finally you could just see all the way down as far as you could for a mile to see all the way down to see this. Kind of an interesting note, that bridge, so the right side, this is all Zambia. That bridge on this side is Zimbabwe. That's how close this, so they both get to share that wonder of the world. But yeah, just incredible. And I was struck as I was standing there in that spot, a couple things, because we also walked down that path. There was another little bridge we walked across. And because of the constant rainbow, because of the constant mist and water there is, that rainbow literally went above us, but then circled below the bridge. And so we walked through a rainbow, which blows my mind. I can't even fathom what did that just happen. That's crazy. But I literally stood there to more than one person and said, boy, I don't see how you can't see God in this. If you don't see God in this, I don't understand. Like, it is just crazy. It's just amazing and astounding. And I was overwhelmed and extremely grateful for what the Lord has created and done. And yeah, I actually was probably silent for a little bit, which was rare.
That is pretty rare.
Which was amazing. So yeah.
Well, if you saw the full rainbow, then you have the pot of gold somewhere.
Yeah, it had to be somewhere. I looked all the way around. I couldn't find it. Yeah.
You know what? I'm just having this thought right now as he's talking. I saw that picture, too, that he's talking about with the rainbow. He has a picture of that, too. And when God showed Noah the rainbow sign, was it what we see or was it a full rainbow? Because we know that it can be seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's a pretty cool thought. The work of God's hands are overwhelming to us, and we think of like the seven wonders of the world, seeing the overwhelmingness of that, but we see that overwhelmingness every day. Every day in what God creates and what he's done by his hand. And when we're overwhelmed by what God has shown us and what he can do, maybe we should begin to think about how overwhelming our lives can be with his presence in it. For what he can do, right? And so we're talking about some of that, and today we're going to be going a different direction. Today we're going to talk about being overwhelmed by the voice of God, by the sound of God's voice, and giving overwhelming gratitude to God for that in our lives as he makes his voice known to us. And some people wonder. They wonder if we can really hear God's voice in today's day and age. Does God still speak to people today? Or is it only something that he did in the day of Moses and Abraham and in the Old Testament? I mean, really, if I'm supposed to hear from God, hear his voice, I'm not really sure how I do that, how I know God's speaking to me, and when it's just my own thoughts or when it's somebody else's thoughts, how do I know the difference? Well, let me begin to answer some of those thoughts and questions by saying God does still speak today. God does still speak today. God has not gone silent. He is very much has things to say to you and to me and desires to speak into our lives. Of course, the chief way that God speaks to us, and hear this, the chief way is through the Word of God, the Bible. That's the main way God speaks to us today. It's living, it's breathing, it's active, and it speaks to us if we spend time really wanting to hear from it, reading it and growing in it and wanting to hear what it has to say. But beyond the more obvious of reading God's word today, we're going to look at some other ways that the Bible tells us that we can hear God's voice. And my prayer is that by the time that we've done and we've explored this a bit this morning, we all have a better grasp on acknowledging and responding to God's voice. Looking at some expressions of God's voice and the power through the lifetime of the Bible and still happens today. First of this, God expresses his voice. When Mike saw that image there, he was seeing the grand and the spectacular. That's kind of what God think about when they talk about hearing from God. Isn't it that, well, I see God in nature, I see God in this. If you're going to hear the voice of God, it's usually some James Earl Jones kind of voice, isn't it? Like Hollywood, than most of us would imagine. But Scripture clearly portrays God's voice at times coming in the grand and in the spectacular. We talked about Moses a bit last week. We've talked about him a couple times in the last couple months. And isn't that what he experienced? I mean, can you imagine being on this stroll and then you see this bush that's on fire, this bush that's burning? That might not be such an incredible sight at first. You can see a bush that's burning. That alone isn't spectacular, but you get closer and you realize, hey, this thing's not burning up. It looks like it's on fire. I think it's on fire, but it's not burning up. What in the world's going on? And today we probably think this is some form of CGI, right? Some sort of trick that's being played for us. But this was not what was going on, and it was a spectacular sight for Moses to see. And let's pick up what Scripture says from Exodus 3, verses 2 through 6 about this incident. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush." And here's where the James Earl Jones would fit in, right? Moses. I can't do that. Moses, right? I am your heavenly father. No, wrong line. Wrong line. We don't know what he sounded like, but audibly God spoke to him, and he, Moses, said, "Here I am." And then he, God, said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, why does he name drop? Why does God name drop at this point? Because, friends, these are the bigwigs, the fathers of the faith. And Moses might not necessarily be too acquainted with God yet, but he's acquainted with these fathers of the faith. He's heard of them. And so as God says them, that gets his attention. And he realizes he's hearing right now from the Almighty. And then it says, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. That's grand and spectacular, isn't it? Sometimes God speaks in the grand and the spectacular, and when he does, he gets our attention. He may not be using burning bushes on a regular basis today, at least not that we've been seeing, but he uses spectacular events in our lives to talk to us if we're listening. Have you ever been to the Smoky or the Rocky Mountains? Have you ever witnessed the birth of a child? Have you ever seen a person restored to health who it looked like there's no way they were possibly going to survive? Have you ever experienced the vastness of the ocean? Listen to me. In the midst of these spectacular events, these spectacular things, God's voice was there. Did you hear it? Did you recognize it? Maybe he wasn't giving you a personal what to do with your life kind of a message in those times. And maybe he was. But he was speaking, I'm here, I'm here. Recognize my voice in this spectacular, this grand view. I made what you're experiencing right now. It's all by my hand. I, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, take off your shoes. The place where you're standing right now, it's holy ground. Stop and listen to my voice in the midst of the overwhelming, because I am speaking. You've maybe heard me share this before, but I've been hearing reports of how Jesus has been showing up in like visions or dreams and with Muslims in the Middle East. And it's so convincing when they see him. It's so grand and spectacular. They're giving their life to Jesus. Muslims are becoming Christians in those places. God can use the mountains. He can use the ocean. He can use a dream. He can use a vision. He can use a burning bush. He can use whatever he wants. He wants to speak to us, and he will. Will you be listening? Will you be listening? Here's the second way that God's voice is expressed in the Bible, with sounds like thunder. Like thunder. Again, because of Hollywood, this is kind of what a lot of us might be expecting when we think about God's voice. Let's take a look at how God's word describes this thunder. There are at least three places in Scripture where God's voice is described in this way. First, there's one with David. David describes God's voice this way after he's been delivered. God's delivered him from his enemies and from Saul, who's persecuting him. And it says in 2 Samuel chapter 22, 13 through 15, out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot the arrows and scattered the enemy with great bolts of lightning. He routed them. Job describes God's voice as thunder. In Job chapter 37, verses 1 through 5, he says, at this point, my heart pounds and leaps from its place. Listen. Listen to the roar of his voice, to the rumbling that comes from his mouth. Now stop there just for a minute. How often do you think of God's voice like a roar? Some people want to think of him more like a loving grandpa who gives them all the soda and candy that you want. And he's all jovial all the time. That's Santa Claus. That's not God. And the truth is that God is amazingly loving and caring. He is. But sometimes true love requires roar, a roar. True love requires thunder. Let's finish these verses. Verse 3, he unleashes his lightning beneath the whole heaven and sends it to the ends of the earth. After that comes the sound of his roar. He thunders with his majestic voice. When his voice resounds, he holds nothing back. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. And then David again speaks about God and God's thundering voice in Psalm 29, verses 3 through 4, says, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Most people today want to think of God as a soft and soft and gentle ways, full of grace and mercy, full of love and full of kindness. And he is all of those things. He is all of those things. But sometimes people, sometimes the earth, sometimes the universe needs the thundering voice of God. Sometimes they need the thundering voice of God. They need his voice that thunders in marvelous ways, that's full of his majesty. Sometimes we hear the voice of the Lord in a thundering voice because sometimes thunder's what we need. Sometimes thunder's what's all that's going to get our attention. Have you ever been zoned out? I mean, just mentally, you're just like checked out. You're maybe with friends or family, and for a couple of moments, you're just like you're not in the room, right? You're just checked out. And then somebody says something to you. They call your name, and you just don't pay attention. You're not being rude. You're just zoned out. You don't know they're calling you. And so then they say your name again. Still, you're checked out. They say your name again. And then finally, like, get in your face, and they yell, Mark! And then you say, what are you yelling at me for? I'm right here. And they say, well, I called your name three times. And you didn't respond to any of them. Listen, God doesn't give thunder to be mean. But sometimes we need thunder so that he can get our attention. Every good parent knows that sometimes you have to bring the hammer down, right? Sometimes you got to bring the thunder. This doesn't mean that it's by any means that God causes the bad things that happen in our lives, but he'll use them to get our attention. He certainly will use them. And let me ask you, is God doing that in your lives right now? Are you experiencing some sort of thunder in your life right now because you've zoned out to God, you've checked out, you're not paying any attention to him, you've done it so long now that he's got to get your attention? When an alcoholic getting behind the wheel of a car finally gets their DUI, right? Because they're driving intoxicated, or they get in an accident, and even worse, they kill someone. God's speaking to them through the thunder. It's time for you to get some help. It's time for you to stop. He didn't cause the accident, but you can bet that he's going to work through it. He's going to speak through it. Maybe God's whispered to this person 1,000 times, but the person's just not been listening, and now it takes thunder to change things. When a workaholic finally gets to the end of the rope and they end up in the hospital out of the stress, or worse yet, their spouse walks on them because they're just sick of being dismissed, or the child's flunking gym class of all things because they don't care enough about anything, because they don't feel like they're cared enough by anybody at home. God speaks to you through the thunder. Maybe he's been whispering 1,000 times, you need to slow down. You need to slow down. You're overlooking me on a continual basis. You're not meant for this. This isn't healthy for you. It's not healthy for anyone. Even you will break at some point. But the workaholic just brushes it off with a, not me, because I can handle everything. And then the thunder comes crashing down. Listen, God doesn't want to have to bring the thunder. No good parent wants to do that, but if you keep pushing him off, if you push off his gentle voice, and if this world keeps pushing his gentle voice away, he also is too good of a parent not to bring what's needed to get our attention. The sad thing is that way too many times, friends, way too many times we ignore even his thundering voice as well. It might get our attention for a brief few moments, right? The Twin Towers fall in New York City and the whole world's attention is grabbed. A hurricane rips through Jamaica. There's another school shooting. A pandemic halts the world. Riots happen in the streets. Someone gets assassinated. Whatever the case may be, and we halt for that moment. We hear his thundering voice and then go right back to where we were. On a personal level, you get the DUI, you lose the job, you lose your marriage, you get caught with your hand in whatever cookie jar it is it's not supposed to be in, that you're sticking your hand into, and God doesn't cause any of those things, but his voice is thundering through them. And we swear to how we're going to be different, but then in not much time at all, we're right back into those harmful habits that brought the initial thunder to begin with. There's a third way to hear God's voice. That we hear God's voice. This is the everyday, it's the most prominent way that God speaks to us, other than like we said, the Bible. Again, remember that we said the Bible is the primary way that God's going to speak to us, that he's going to speak to us. And so, if the Bible's the primary way he speaks to us, and we're not reading the Bible, we're like a bunch of children that live deaf to God. We're God's children living deaf because we're not hearing him, because we're not going to where he speaks the most. Probably 95% of what God's going to speak to us is in his word, the Bible. But then the next probably most primary way is this third one. It's this. He speaks as a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. A lot of people miss the voice of God in their lives because they're out watching the clouds and for the storm, for the thunder. They're looking for the grand and spectacular, and God is gently whispering through their lives every single day. Listen to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13, how God's voice comes to Elijah. This is such a powerful, eye-opening passage of Scripture. Much so important that you really need to listen to it as I read it this morning. And then when you go home today, write it on a piece of paper and stick it on your refrigerator. Or stick it on the mirror in your bathroom, someplace that you're going to see it where you regularly see it. Here's what it says. It says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah and God had this quiet conversation back and forth. Hear this. The majority of God's voice to us is found in the gentle whispers. So what does that mean to our overwhelming lives? We've got to find a way to quiet them down enough that we can hear his whispers. We make our lives so doggone loud, so doggone noisy, so doggone busy that we can't hear the whispers of God. Why do you think that God gave us the model of working 6 days and using the seventh day for rest? Do you think that he did it for himself so that he could establish the Lord's day? You've heard people call Sunday the Lord's day? No, he set the Sabbath day apart so that you and I would rest. And so that you and I would be quiet and listen, and so that he wouldn't have to raise his voice in a loud and thundering voice, and he could instead speak to us in a gentle whisper. Now, it's not only one day a week that we need to listen to God, that we're supposed to be quiet enough to hear him. We also have to find quiet time, quiet space in our everyday. So that we regularly hear the whispers of God. It may not sound too quiet of a place to you, but you've heard me say before, one of my favorite quiet places is on the roar of my mower. Because I don't hear any other voices. And I'm just open just to listen to the voice of God. Now, if my focus isn't right, the enemy can jump in there with thoughts too, but when we focus on God in that time of quiet, God wants to speak to us. He wants to whisper to us and talk to us in our lives. Sometimes God comes in the grand and the spectacular. Sometimes he comes in the thunder. But most of the time, he's going to come in a whisper because he's not at all interested in having a shouting match with you to try to get your attention. You know, we all live in imperfect homes. We do. Not a perfect home exists. And even if it looks like it's the home of Ken and Barbie families, there aren't any. There aren't any like that. And sometimes the volume in our homes goes much higher than it should. Don't you agree that that happens sometimes? And do you know what that never feels good? And it rarely brings anything positive in return. Yelling usually only begets yelling. And God says, that's not the kind of relationship that I want to have with you. I'm not about to spend my days with you yelling. So if you're interested in a daily relationship with me, you're going to have to allow your life to get quiet enough that you can hear my whispers. Don't you ever believe that I'm not speaking to you in your life, because I'm speaking to you every day. I'm speaking into your life daily, but you're going to have to quiet things down enough that you hear a whisper, because I don't want to have to always be getting your attention. I want you to give me your attention. I want you to give me your attention. So friends, sometimes we hear God's voice in the grand and spectacular. Sometimes we hear it in the thunder, but most regularly, if we're listening, we're going to hear God's voice as a gentle whisper. We're going to spend the remainder of our time today talking about our response to God's voice when we do hear it. And the first response is this: we must recognize and know his voice. Recognize and know it. That's one of the biggest questions that I think Jesus followers have as they're trying to respond to God's voice. How do I recognize it as God, as God's voice, not just my own thoughts, not my own wants, not my own desires? You only recognize God's voice by getting to know it, getting to know him. Jesus explains this to us in a word picture by using sheep and a gatekeeper. Listen to what he says in John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. He says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I know I've shared this story before, but I was with a guy one time. I was actually on an Emmaus team. We were doing an Emmaus meeting, and one of the guys on the team had been to Israel, to the Holy Land. And he was talking about his trip there, and he said one of the things happened. They were on this tour bus, and on the tour bus, the guy doing the tour guide said to them, he says, you'll notice that when a flock of sheep comes by, the shepherd's always in the front, and the sheep are following him. They know his voice. He's going to lead them. He says, you'll never find here a shepherd who's behind driving the sheep. He's always in the front. And no sooner did this guy say this, did the tour guide say this, they see this flock of sheep coming by, but the guy's behind the sheep. He's not in front of the sheep. And so one of the guys questioned the tour guide. He said, wait a minute, you just said that the shepherd's always in front of the sheep. How come right out there there's these sheep and the shepherd's behind them? He said, oh, that's not the shepherd. He said, that's the butcher, and he's driving them to the slaughter. Friends, I'm not looking to be driven by God. I'm not looking for people who are driven by God. I'm looking for people who are led by God. There is a real difference. You know that, right? I know some very driven people in ministry. I mean, it's like they're being pushed, and if they don't do it, there's so much guilt on them that they feel like they're screwing up and they're blowing it for God. I don't want to be that way. God doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to know his voice so he can lead us. And we can follow him. That's what life should be like. Being driven only wears you out. So the next question is, if we recognize God's voice because we know his voice, how do I get to know his voice? And you know, it's really an elementary answer that many of us already know in our hearts. It's just that maybe we've not truly been willing to take the time to do it. If you want to know God well enough to know his voice, it's just like you would do with a best friend. You've got to spend time with God. You've got to spend time with God. Listen, if you've allowed your life to become so overwhelmed that you never spend any time with God by reading his word in the Bible, by being in prayer, by listening to him, by regularly being a part of worship together in the body of Christ, by spending time growing in your faith through life groups and other studies and ways that you seek to know Jesus, then of course you're going to have a difficult time recognizing God's voice and knowing if it's the shepherd or if it's the butcher. When there's a person in your life that you really want to decide that you want to get to know, you go out and you do, what do? You spend time with that person, right? Really being about recognizing someone as a good friend takes more than following them or on social media or any of those kind of things, or being a friend on social media. It takes more than good intentions. It takes personally spending time with that person. And it's no different than that with God. If you want to recognize and know God's voice, you've got to give him the time of day. You got to make it a priority to spend time with him getting to know him. And when you've done this for some time, his whispers become more present and his whispers become more clear to you. It then doesn't take much discerning to know that, you're hearing God's voice because you've gotten to know his voice. Here's an important caution in recognizing God's voice. If you're hearing God's voice or believe that you are, it will never lead you to do anything that contradicts what God's already said in his word, the Bible. It never will. The Bible is God's voice and it doesn't change. So he won't tell you to do something or be something that the Bible already says you can't do or be. So if you think that you're hearing something from God, but it runs in direct contradiction of what God's word already tells us, you better back up and you better begin to pray about that. You better talk to some godly people you know in your life to figure out what you're truly hearing from God. Here's a case in point of that. Many years ago, there was a Christian recording artist who was really having a pretty booming career at the time. And then she decided to divorce her husband. And in an article of an interview, she said that she was divorcing her husband because God told her to do so in order to further her music ministry. Look, God wouldn't tell her to do that. He already speaks in his word about the importance of the marriage covenant and only gives a couple of cases when divorce is permissible. There are times that divorce is an unfortunate reality, and I'm not making a judgment on anybody who's maybe gone through that in this room, but friends, the written word of God is pretty clear that furthering a music ministry is not a permissible option for divorce, right? Pretty clearly, we know that that's not the case. There's also another way of knowing that this wasn't the voice of God she was hearing. Her music ministry pretty much tanked after that. And it's been 35 years and it's never rebounded. I think she went on to marry like a road hand or a manager or something like that, but her career kind of stalled out. A second response to hearing God's voice is this: we must listen to God's voice and do what's right. Do what's right. We all know that there's a big difference between hearing and listening, right? We hear an awful lot of things in our world, but without truly listening to them or taking them to heart or taking them in. And do you know who we tend to do that with the most? We tend to do that the most with those who are closest to us. Well, listen, I think we also tend to do that with God sometimes. Oh, God, I got it. Yeah, I hear you. I got it. I hear you. I got to get to reading that book or doing that study or getting involved in that ministry. I'm going to do that someday. Someday I'll really get serious about the church thing and I'll really get involved. Someday I'll take my walk with Jesus to that next level, really commit to something greater. Someday I'm really going to focus on my family and we're going to stay at home. I'm going to turn off all the devices. We're going to eat around the dinner table. We're going to do some real face-to-face interaction. Whatever it is that God's been whispering to you, but you're still not really listening to him. And I wonder if sometimes God might not be saying back to us, you're not listening. You're not listening. You hear what I'm telling you that you need to do, but you're not listening. Because to truly be listening, we've got to also do the right thing. And if we're truly listening to God's voice in our lives, then we're stepping out when he says to step out, and we're making the choices to do what's right. Do you want to know why you may be feeling so overwhelmed in your life right now? No, unless you're facing some sort of tragedy or some big event that's happened to you, it's likely because you're not really listening to God. That's why everything feels overwhelming. You're listening to everything else, but you're likely not really listening to God. God doesn't set us up to be overwhelmed by this world. He sets out to overwhelm us with his peace and his purpose and his presence and his fulfillment. He sets us up to give him overwhelming gratitude, but those things only come by listening to him and doing the right thing. After God led Moses and God's people out of the hands of Pharaoh and their persecution, he made a promise to Moses to care for them. That's also a promise for us. God used plagues on Pharaoh and the Egyptians in order to move Pharaoh's heart to a place that he'd let the Israelites finally let them go. And they were awful. They were horrible plagues. And then listen to God's word to Moses about listening to his voice. Exodus 15:26. He said, this is what God said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. God's a healer to his people, not a curser of them. There's a real level of covering that happens in the lives of those who are walking with Jesus, listening to his voice, and doing what's right. The truth is that God's much more serious about his relationship with us than most of us are about our relationship with him. That's the truth. There's one more last response to hearing God's voice that's related to what we've already been speaking toward. And it's also probably the most critical of all of them, of all of our responses. And the response is this: we must obey his voice. Obey it. Let's face it. We have two responses when we hear God's voice: obedience or disobedience. They're the only choice you have. Obedience or disobedience. You may say, but wait, maybe I'm just thinking things over a bit. I'm thinking them through. Maybe I want to count the cost a little bit longer. Well, how well did that work for Jonah? Jonah decided he was not going to obey God at first, and the response was he's swallowed by a huge fish, and he gets puked up in the very location God told him to go. Listen, if God's speaking a whisper or a thunder or a grand and spectacular word into your life, he's already determined that you're ready, right? I mean, think about that a minute. If he's calling you to do that, God knows everything. He already knows that you're ready. So you don't have to take that and try to have to determine that for yourself. Get this. Slow obedience is no obedience. Slow obedience is not obeying. It's telling God, I don't really trust you. I don't really trust that you know enough about me or for me. And I'm thinking that maybe I know a little bit better, so let me just put you on hold, God, and do my own thing for a while. Do you know what God wants from us more than anything? He wants for us to love him back. And do you know the prime way that we love God back? It's by obeying him. Listen to what his word has to say to us through Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Now, the fat of rams would be in relation to the best cut of meat. That was the best that's given God the greatest steak. It's the best that you can offer to him. He doesn't care about our stuff, friends. He owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. Think about it. We can't give anything to God that God doesn't already have except our love and obedience. Love and obedience is the only thing that we can give to God that really matters to God. Listen, friends, if you've come into this place today feeling overwhelmed, I understand that sometimes it comes in points of our lives and we have no control over that, but sometimes we're overwhelmed simply because our focus has been all wrong. We're not focused on God. We're not focused on his purpose. We're not focused on his way. Life will overwhelm you when you do that, when you take your eyes off of him. When our focus turns to our overwhelming God, who's overwhelmingly good and overwhelmingly loving, and we begin to even grapple with the idea of this overwhelmingly great God, and who would even choose to speak to us, then we should be saying, I hear the sound of his voice, and I'm so impressed by him that nothing else worrying me matters. I'm coming to recognize and know that his voice, to know his voice, and that he's going to lead me by his hand and deliver me and guide me, and he pleads with me and he corrects me. Those are all the things we talked about last week. His voice comes to me, and I'm going to recognize it and listen to it and obey it. And that does overwhelm me, God. And so I'm so overwhelmingly grateful for you. Let's pray together. God, I suspect that some of us in this room, we have been overwhelmed. We've just got so much that's been happening. And what happens over being overwhelmed by the world is this snowball effect. If we begin to feel overwhelmed, but we don't take it to you, God, then the overwhelming becomes bigger. And if we don't take it to you, God, then the overwhelming becomes bigger until all of a sudden we feel like we're underwater and we're in distress and we're looking for the grand and the spectacular. We're looking for the thunder to come grab us, and the whole time you've been whispering, focus on me. Focus on my overwhelming presence. I got all this covered. I got all this covered. Don't look to the world. Look to Jesus. Be overwhelmed by my goodness. Be overwhelmed by my love. And turn your gratitude to me. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And one of the things that might be for some of us in the room is God's not annoyed with you. God's just really ticked off. He's mad at me because I haven't listened. And I tell you what, we think of that because that's how parents will be. We'll get annoyed with our kids, and then we bring the track and a train's coming. And you yell at them so that they hear and go, that's got about done with you. And so if you quiet yourself, he'll whisper to you again. Here's my challenge for us that this week, what if you just simply you can do that every day. You can do it once if you want. And maybe open with a psalm. Read one of them. This isn't meditation. You're going to empty your mind so the enemy can just fill your mind. You're just being silent before God, and you invite God. You go and you spend 15 minutes and you come out and you're ready to conquer the world. But maybe you'll just sense his presence. Do that again. And you choose to do that again. And as you spend time with him and you open his word where he sees in a way that you never have, or maybe a way that you haven't in a long time because you used to, but you went and got overwhelmed and so busy. He hasn't stopped talking. He hasn't stopped whispering. We just haven't listened. Be blessed. Have a beautiful week. And walk.